Biotech investment firm MPM Capital has announced that it has raised $850 million for its second oncology impact fund. The fund will invest in companies developing cancer drugs, including those experimenting with methods used in some COVID-19 vaccines. Dr. Christiana Bardon is BioImpact Capital's co-managing partner and is a key player of the fund's management. Dr. Bardon, good to see you this morning here. Where will you be putting that money to work?
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on. So the mandate of the fund is dedicated first to oncology for finding transformative therapies for patients in the field of oncology, as well as next generation therapeutics in the field of cell therapy, gene therapy, as well as RNA therapies. We like to stay always on the forefront of the cutting edge of biotech developments.
And Dr. Bardon, it's Julie here. When we think about cancer treatments, frequently there is a lot in the very experimental pipeline at all sorts of different stages of development. What are some of the most promising categories of treatments that investors should know about right now?
Yeah, I would say right now, first of all, the most promising areas within oncology include the immuno-oncology space. This is where you're using the body's own immune system to fight cancer. What's exciting about the immuno-oncology state technology is that not only can you treat patients and prolong, but you can potentially cure patients, which is obviously the holy grail of cancer treatment. The first generation of IO drugs are now on. They're called the PD-1 or PD-L1 group of therapies. Many of the major pharma companies have drugs in this space. But now we're starting to see the second generation of IO drugs emerge. It's been a lot of work to get these there. But if we do, we'll see applicability of this class into more tumor types, as well as a larger percentage of patients with these tumors. And that means potentially more cures for patients.
The RNA technology that has helped power the COVID-19 vaccines, how will that be used, or how is it being used right now in the development for cancer drugs?
Yeah, so I would say RNA is used not only for cancer therapeutics, but also more broadly as well for other major illnesses as well. What's exciting about RNA is that you can use it either to produce protein or to inhibit the production of proteins. The way it works in vaccines is that you use it to produce the protein, which resembles the coronavirus, and therefore your body recognizes that and generates an immune response to it. So mRNA technology is naturally lends itself to vaccine technology, and that's why it works so well. It also works so rapidly in terms of our ability to develop a vaccine very quickly. We'll now be able to expand that into broader fields of protein development, protein production, as well as protein inhibition. Ultimately, I think what would be transformative is, for example, one of the cutting edge therapies right now is cell therapy. That's where we take a patient's immune cells, take them out of the body, genetically modify them and put them back in to fight cancer. In the future, potentially, we could just give the mRNA to patients directly and therefore not need to take their cells out. That would be an off-the-shelf therapy, which would be much cheaper to produce and more accessible to patients. So I think the future of mRNA technology is very promising, and we'll be investing in that field during our next fund.
And also, you know, as we think about the coronavirus pandemic and the interplay with the rest of drug and treatment development, what has happened? I mean, this is something we talked about with the Susan G. Komen head, Paula Schneider, last week, which is sort of what has happened with funding, what has happened with research, as much of the attention of the non-medical world and a lot of the medical world has been on finding ways to attack coronavirus. What has happened on the other side with cancer research?
Yeah, so I would say, first of all, the coronavirus success really has leveraged itself off of the great hard work that the industry does, you know, 24/7 for the last, you know, 20 years or so. You know, we've been working on mRNA technologies, delivery technologies, antibody technologies, antivirals for years. And that's what enabled us to be as ready as we were when the coronavirus pandemic hit us. Now, with regard to cancer, I think that we'll continue to do the major work there, especially in these cutting edge areas, immuno-oncology, as well as these other major areas. I think cell therapy continues to expand. Cell therapy I described earlier briefly as the ability to take the body's immune system, T cells, out, reprogram them, and give them back to the patients to fight cancer. What's exciting is that that type of cell therapy, for example, could be applicable to other disease areas, including antivirals, including coronavirus, for example. So I think that there's a lot of interplay between the different segments of biotechnology where we can apply technologies that are applicable currently to one disease area and to multiple disease areas. Antibodies, for example, were originally developed for cancer, and that's been a mainstay of cancer, several cancer treatments. Of course, antibody therapies, that technology, was also developed quite quickly for the treatment of COVID.
Doctor, I'm sure you're watching what's happening with Merck and its potential pill treatment for COVID-19. Is that the type of potential transformative breakthrough that will ultimately end the pandemic?
Yeah, so obviously I think the most important thing is vaccination, and that is the ability to prevent infection in the first place. I would say the second goal is to prevent serious sequela of the infection. So that would be preventing hospitalization and death. So from that perspective, once a patient gets infected, you need to treat them to minimize the course of their illness. Now, currently we have approved antibodies, but antibodies, as you may know, are difficult to administer. They may require intravenous administration or at least injection subcutaneously. And so that just makes it a little bit more complicated to get it to patients. If we have a true oral pill that patients can take, that they can take, go home and take, and potentially mitigate their disease course, that is potentially transformative for the disease area. So, you know, really, we've made a lot of progress here with, the first step was remdesivir, which, you know, Merck had developed for a whole nother disease area, but had applicability to COVID. That was intravenous. Then we had the antibodies, which were intravenous and subcutaneous. Now we'll have the orals, which again will be the third chapter in terms of our ability to treat and prevent serious illness in COVID.
Very helpful Dr. insights Bart, here.
Good luck. Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Julie.
I was just going to say thank you, but you go ahead.
No, well, yeah, no, really great, helpful insights here. Good luck with the new fund. Dr. Christiana Bardon, BioImpact Capital's co-managing partner. Have a good rest of the week.